Well, this is quite a story out of Toronto, so we'll talk about it. Wally, last night, I don't think too many people who weren't at the game saw the game. In fact, the folks who were there, there weren't many of them, 4,500 or so. But Arkansas rolls their victory, 81-54, outscoring Northeastern State, 48-28 in the second half. And Cody Clark, as you heard Mike Anderson talking about it, the star of the game, 16 points on 7 of 9 shooting. He pulled down 7 rebounds as well and had a couple of blocks and a steal. So pretty solid night for Cody Clark, one of a handful of guys who will hopefully contribute on a regular basis.
I wasn't there. Read the box score very carefully. And what jumped out at me is that three-point shooting.
Not good.
I would say, young men, no more three-point shooting until you've scored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They scored, I think they shot 38% in the first exhibition game, which was pretty solid. They shot 70% from the line in the first exhibition game. Last night, 59% from the line, 24% from the three. Not very good.
Against an, what, are they an NAI school?
I assume so.
Because it was an exhibition.
Yeah. Not a good team, for sure. I mean, certainly as we talked about in the first game, as solid, I mean, it was solid three-point shooting. They will face much better perimeter defense as they get into SEC play.
And I suspect when they get into real play, the games that count, Mike will limit who can take three-point shots. Not everybody can have the green light for a three-point shot.
Yeah, exhibitions are a good time to figure out who can't shoot them, I suppose. When we get to our Jim's Razorback Pizza Report, we're going to try to do the good and bad and the ugly. We're going to have to do it quickly because we have some interviews coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. But one of the things I was encouraged by, they cut down on the turnovers by 5. So only 12 turnovers after 17 in the first exhibition, and they forced 22. Those are the kind of numbers we want to see on a regular basis.
That's Mike's numbers. Now they're starting to come.
Yeah. Well, we'll see when they count for real the next game. So the other thing is, we talked about it a little bit. I don't want to belabor it. And again, he's only going to sit one more game and one game that does count, but probably won't be much of a challenge for Arkansas, but the whole Kai Madden thing. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe we touched on it yesterday with you at the end of the show, but I was disappointed that he's not available. And, you know, I don't know if it's a major, minor, or what the deal is, but the bottom line is he's missed both exhibition games, and he's going to miss the first game of the year that counts, which is, of course, on Friday, SIU Edwardsville. I'll assume Arkansas will find a way to win without him, but
fingers crossed.
Yeah, but you know, this is a kid that we were all suspect about coming out of high school because he had some incidents with his temper. He's been a model student for 2 years.
True.
And has not been a great basketball player that everybody expected him to be for 2 years.
So you're telling me he's flipping the script on both this year?
I'm thinking maybe he's going to have a better year on the court. Now, if anybody can get a kid under, help him learn to be a man, it's Mike. I mean, I've just in the few years he's been there, I've seen amazing changes in some of the kids.
Well, I hope that's the case.
Marshawn Powell last year?
Yeah.
Almost a model student.
Yeah.
Gone from being a pouty finger pointer to being a model student.
Arkansas will play Friday again against SIU Edwardsville, then Madden's first game will be the week after that against Louisiana, 6:30 game on Friday, the following Friday. So,
and they got to have Madden at the point.
Yeah.
He's got to distribute, and that's what he was learning last year.
Well, Kiko, you know, I'm expecting to step in and be kind of a steadying force. Fred Gulley, of course, is getting the start at the point, and he put up some numbers, 9 points, 2 rebounds, a couple of assists. Leading assist guy last night actually was Bobby Portis, who shot the ball horribly from the floor, 1 of 8, but he did dole out 6 assists, so he is playing a well-rounded form of basketball right now as a starter, a young starter at that. The only youngster who was in the starting lineup last night, Kiko, in 20 minutes contributed virtually nothing. 3 points, had a couple of assists, had a turnover, didn't do much at all. So, you know, I don't know what my expectation is for him. I guess maybe more than that. Alandis Harris, 10 points, 8 rebounds in 19 minutes. That's pretty solid.
That is.
Moving on, Jeff Long, big bonus, big pay raise after being chased by Texas. I am hoping some radio station shows interest in me at some point.
I was about to say, that is the best thing ever. Just be like, hey, can you just call in and maybe just perhaps say that you're wanting to hire me?
Mm-hmm.
And then, boom, 100K more.
Do it now, because when you get to my age,
doesn't happen.
Nobody chases you at that point?
No,
it's too late?
They quit about 10 years ago.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know for sure who all was potentially in the mix. I do have to believe, though, with all due respect to the athletic director at Arizona State, that Jeff Long would have been more of a splash hire at Texas.
You know, I probably so, except that guy graduated from Texas. And they need someone that can come in, because for what? 8 or 9 months, DeLoss Dodds is still going to be in his office.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to work through him. And that can be a very difficult situation. DeLoss Dodds has a huge ego.
Well, Jeff Long's been through that before.
Yes, he has.
I mean, so he's a guy that's perfectly groomed for that. The other thing is there any other school in the country that screams business to you more than Texas?
No.
Maybe Notre Dame.
$163 million budget?
No.
$163 million, and Arkansas is, what, 68?
Well, Jeff Long is a businessman first, and I don't know if you've gotten a chance to read through that book that Christy Doss wrote that I gave you, but one of the big things she focused on in one of the chapters was the fact that they are going away from old coaches like Frank Broyles into more administrative guys who have spent more time in business and administration than they've spent on the sidelines or as a player. And
actually,
Jeff Long, obviously.
There was another phase in there. They went to bankers. And that really didn't work.
Yeah.
They thought, okay, a guy with a degree in finance, but it's more marketing. And we had this discussion, and Trey and Matt don't believe me. The next big thing is they're going to have beer sales on football campuses.
That's an SEC rule, not an NCAA rule.
I think it's both right now.
Well, the NCAA, I know, allows it because they've got it at UALR.
That's true.
So, I mean, apparently, and I know there are other, I believe Colorado, although I didn't drink while I was out there doing a game with UCA, they have beer sales at their stadium.
I think you're right. But it's another stream of revenue that's untapped.
No pun intended.
Right.
Or pun intended.
But I think that's next. And I think the SEC, I think Mike Slive is a businessman. I don't mean this in a negative way. He's a Jewish lawyer. He's had his own businesses.
Yeah.
See, he's about the bottom line, and he wants to retire with the legacy of leaving behind the richest conference ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the last big thing. So you get 72,000 thirsty people in Razorback Stadium.
What is the reason why the SEC doesn't allow alcohol?
Bible Belt.
That's the only
tradition.
Reason why.
Yeah.
Tradition.
But on the other flip side of that, can you imagine 102,000 thirsty Tiger fans?
Well, that you know what? Right now, there's...
If you show up drunk and sneak in a flask...
Exactly. That's what I mean. It's not like you've got 102,000 sober people in your building.
Well, or if you're at LSU, you don't have 102 sober people. You're right.
Okay, well, whatever. I mean, it's not like these people are sober. Let's begin with. They've been drinking for 6 hours before. They all sneak in a flask. You know, everyone buys a large Coke. It's not because we're thirsty for Coke. Let's be honest.
Saturday, I saw the saddest thing. A guy had... snuck in his half a pint or whatever it was, made his drink, was sitting there. Little kid runs by and kicks it over in the first quarter.
It's a bummer.
That is a bummer.
I hate that. I haven't snuck in.
I
haven't snuck alcohol into a game since I was in college probably, but, you know, we know what happens. I mean,
it's because you call the games now. It's
no,
not because
I mean,
you don't actually go watch
them. I've gone to lots of games as a fan. The thing is, Wally, I think you're right, especially if War Memorial can do it, because obviously they're trying to make up a huge revenue deficit.
But it's not in the stands. It's in a private area. I'm talking about in the stands. So
yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
No, I mean, look, here's the thing. I think you got to spend a little bit of that money for additional security because you are going to have a couple incidents extra or, you know, more so than you normally do. There's a way to police it, and they're going to have to be very diligent about not serving people who are clearly wasted.
Right. You're going to have a limit, and you're going to have to quit selling after the third quarter.
Yeah.
But just maybe it's appropriate.
I wonder what the amount would be. I mean, I wonder what an NFL's beer sales are, an NFL team's beer sales are.
And
of course, they have 8 home games, so it's a little different.
And isn't a beer like $9 in Cowboy Stadium?
We went to Cowboy Stadium this weekend, and for a margarita, like one of those large margaritas, they're $16. And for a beer, they're $9.50.
But again, if you want it, you'll buy it. And if you don't, you won't.
Absolutely.
But students and fans are sneaking it in. Just this is appropriate that they're playing Ole Miss this week. It was just a few years ago they called the bomb squad out. Guy was mowing the grass on the field, and he looks up and sees all these packages taped under the seat. The kids had gone in and taped up their liquor for the weekend.
Get out of here.
Oh, that is so smart.
Are you serious?
Well, but they lost it because that guy thought it was bombs.
Really?
Oh, that is actually hilarious.
That's actually, I kind of got to give him some credit.
You're talking about, Justin, you had mentioned the security of the alcohol. We were leaving the game, and we each had a cocktail in our hands, and we were walking out of the stadium. And it never even occurred to me that, obviously, like, because the way Texas Stadium is, if you've never been there, it's like you're all outside anyway. The doors were open the day of, so it's like you're walking in and out. So you're kind of quote-unquote in the stadiums until you walk out of these, like, metal gates. And we were just walking around with cocktails all day, and then when we walked outside the metal gate, I'm talking, we were in all there 2 seconds. This guy comes running up to us. Ma'am, you're going to have to... And they grabbed him right over our hands and poured him out right at our feet, like, within 2 seconds.
And so, you were leaving?
As we were leaving the game, because you weren't allowed to take, alcohol out of the game.
The drinking and driving
Well,
thing.
Here's the one thing. Arkansas fans have complained a lot about switching from Coke to Pepsi. This would certainly lighten that that debate a little bit. Well, give you something, another option.
And how much would Budweiser or Miller pay it to be the only one being sold in the stadium?
Oh, I'm sure it's coming. You're right. I mean, again, I hope they'll police it the right way. I know there'll be some folks who would be concerned about it, taking their kids to the game. But I think the majority of people are, if they're going to get hammered, they're going to get hammered before the game anyway. So
I've never seen anybody drunk or disorderly at ULR other than you.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's because of the officiating is usually pretty poor in the Sun Belt.
You sit so far away from it,
it'd wear off. Here's my point. How are the officials going to know they suck if I don't tell them? And Ed David doesn't go to games as much anymore, so
it kind of falls on you now.
Somebody's got to do it, and I'm happy to help. I've got a loud voice. I know they can hear me. I'm sitting four rows back.
Your boys love to go?
Yeah. Maddox knows what's up. I take my kids to all the games except for the ASU game now because there is a potential that you're going to get in some sort of scrum with some ASU fan. Mm-hmm. Who only goes out of his house once a year.
Oh, look at you. This board is going to light up with
ASU
fans.
Look, it's not a coincidence. It can't be a coincidence that happens that game every year. I understand the passion. I even appreciate it. And I like ASU fans. But it seems like the most ridiculous, nonsensical ones show up at the UALR game every year.
They don't like Steve.
True. I don't know how they get the good seats either. That's the other thing. How are they not in the upper deck? They get in seats like in the fifth row behind me.
I thought most of the incidents has happened in Jonesboro.
No, I've had stuff. I mean, just fans out of hand. I broke up a fight between a ULR fan and an ASU fan down like in the lower seats.
Good for you.
Were they girls?
I'm not comfortable. No, it was two old dudes actually. But I'm not comfortable playing peacemaker. I like to stir the pot, but it was sort of a unique deal for me.
Well, you do kind of hurt the curve on age. At a ULR game.
Yeah. I enjoy it. It's fun. Maddox likes going, so we are younging it up a little bit. By the way, Wally, this is a story in line with what you were talking about. And I know you guys talked about it on overtime yesterday. 267 people ejected from the Florida State Miami game over the weekend for offensive ranging from the normal Saturday evening drunk to stumbling around to needed friends to carry them through the entrance. It was pretty nasty, apparently. 267. I don't know if that's a record, but it's got to be close.
How big is the jail there?
I don't know. It was pretty full the other night. Anyway, that's kind of interesting. So, again, you do have – there's give and take there. There's a huge revenue stream. I think they've made it pretty clear that they're in it to win it as far as money goes.
Oh, yeah.
So anything that makes money, I'm assuming they'll find a way to do it. And like Christina said, look, it's going to be – you're either going to have to be wealthy or really, really want to get hammered to drink too many things at the game if they're going to be $8 or $9 a pop. I can't imagine they're going to have real cheap beer there.
And no.
And nobody's going to complain about it loudly because they're going to be like, well, look, then don't drink at the game.
It won't be a happy hour.
No. No, that's true. It'll be an unhappy hour if you have to pay the price. So you think Long is locked in now? Didn't they up his buyout now, too, with this whole deal back to that?
I think so. I didn't read the whole story yet.
Yeah. So it's not surprising that people are coming at him again. He's got one of the most prestigious positions now. In addition to being the AD at a very good school at Arkansas, he's also got the chairmanship for the selection committee. So it's a high-profile position. It's a position that would transfer. We've talked about that, right?
Right. He got it, not the school.
Right.
And he just opened a multi-million-dollar football facility from the private sector. All the money came from donations and whatever. They didn't take any tax dollars. So
we got a debate on Friday about the practice facility. We'll take a couple calls here in a second. We got in a debate about it, and Vickery said, I can't believe Arkansas is the only one that doesn't have a practice facility. I said, I don't know. So somebody said us in. Yeah, they're the only one without a practice facility in basketball, which when you think about the focus on facilities and the tradition, which, again, Arkansas has fallen on hard times recently in basketball, but compared to a lot of programs in the SEC, still one of the better programs, certainly, without a doubt. It is amazing to me that they are the last one that doesn't have a practice facility.
What do you mean they don't have a practice facility?
They don't have a separate basketball practice facility. Every other school in the conference does, which seems a little silly. Most people think, well, you just practice at the arena, right?
Mm-hmm.
But apparently everybody else has a separate deal.
It's a recruiting thing.
It's more a perception thing than probably a reality.
Big lounge, you know, big TVs, big place for the kids to hang out.
So basically like a locker room? Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's a separate facility where they go practice.
Okay.
You know?
A few years ago, Ole Miss was getting ready to build a practice facility, and I was in Andy Kennedy's office. And I look out the window, and I went, why are you building it a mile? There's a vacant lot right next to it. And he said, oh, they get a little sensitive around here about digging up Confederate graveyards.
Where is it? That's funny. That's funny.
On campus.
That's funny. Speaking of, one other thing.